Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Everyone's born blind, but most people won't accept that. Take the disciples, for example, in our gospel lesson this morning. They knew the prophets. They knew what the Old Testament foretold about the Son of Man, all that had been written therein. They had heard year after year, even from childhood, about the suffering servant, for example, as written by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53 of his book. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. They knew that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and die for the sins of the world. And if the Holy Scriptures weren't enough for these disciples to realize that truth, they had the plain words of Jesus. He told them again and again and again what was coming for him. First, right before his transfiguration, which we heard about a couple weeks ago, Jesus told the 12, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." Soon after that, he said again, "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men." And then finally, as Jesus and the 12 drew near to Jerusalem, he said once more, what we ourselves heard today, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." But despite these plain and simple words, both from the Old Testament and from the mouth of Jesus himself, the disciples, quote, understood none of these things. The saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. Now, we know that the disciples as a whole weren't necessarily learned men, but they were faithful men. They knew the Old Testament, and Jesus had spoken to them plainly. How could they not understand? Why didn't they get it? Again, it's not as though Jesus was being cryptic here. He wasn't trying to hide things from them. He was going to do what he said he would do, what the Old Testament said he would do. He was going to Jerusalem to be handed over to the rulers of the Jews and the Gentiles. He would be mocked and insulted and spit upon and beaten. He would die. And on the third day, he would live again. It's all right there. It's spelled out in the simplest possible way to the disciples. And yet they still couldn't see. They were still blind. Are we any better than they? We should be, for we don't just have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament also. We have the whole written account of Jesus' birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension. We have the epistles, the inspired Word of God, written through the apostles to unpack for us what his death and resurrection means. We have 2,000 years of faithful witnesses to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen indeed. And yet, how often are you blind to what has been clearly revealed to you in Holy Scripture? Not just blind to the gospel, but blind to the law. How often do you not see what God wills for you? You know that you are to love him above all things, but how often do you allow, as we heard last week, the cares and riches and pleasures of this life to turn your heart away from God, away from His Word, away from worship, to earthly matters, temporal matters, things that are even now passing away? You know that you are to love your neighbor as yourself, but how often do you grumble about those whom God has placed in your life? Your parents, other authorities, your spouse, your coworker, your fellow students, your teacher, your pastors? How often do you harbor grudges in your heart? As it was with the disciples, so it is with us. The problem is not God's word. God's word is plain. God's word is clear. In fact, that's one of the attributes of Holy Scripture, is its clarity. You know the word. You probably even memorized much of it in your childhood. The reason that you don't follow the commandments of God is not that you don't know them or understand what they mean. So why don't you keep God's word as you ought? It's because you, like the disciples, were born blind. As a sinner, like every single other person, born of sinful flesh, descended from Adam who fell in the garden long ago. Because of his fall, everyone has been born blind. Spiritually speaking, that is. No one can see, no one can understand the things of God by their own natural power or strength. Now, of course, there's another blind man in today's gospel lesson. I mean, one who was actually physically blind. And yet, he saw something the disciples did not see. For he saw with faith. He saw that Jesus was, in fact, the Son of David who had come to show mercy. And so he begged. He cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And when those in front tried to shut him up, he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And when Jesus heard his cry and stood before him, the blind man was bold in his prayers. "Lord, let me recover my sight." He wasn't shy. He knew by faith that the Lord already perceived what he desired. And so he was confident to ask for it. And he received it. When his sight was recovered, that blind man was no less bold in his faith. He left all that he had. He followed Jesus. He glorified God. That same voice that had cried out for mercy now was shouting praise. You see, this man, though he was born physically blind, was given the eyes of faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was able to see and to believe the word of God. He knew what the prophet Isaiah had foretold was true and fulfilled in that man Jesus, that God had come to save him, that indeed he would open the eyes of the blind, along with opening the ears of the deaf, making the lame to leap like a deer, loosing the tongue of the mute to sing for joy. Yes, the blind man knew and believed. He saw that everything written about the Son of Man by the prophets would be accomplished. Because he knew, he believed, he saw that the Son of Man, the Messiah, the Lord God himself, was a gracious and merciful Lord who loves his people, who longs and delights in forgiving their sins, who delivers them from every evil of body and soul. Through the word that was spoken by Jesus, the blind man, who was hushed by the crowds, was bold to ask Christ for a miracle. And he received that miracle. And not just the restoration of his physical sight, though he truly received that, but all the more the promise of eternal life, which he grasped by faith and clung to. The blind man's Lord is your Lord too. Will he not do the same for you? Does he not love you also? Does he not delight in forgiving your sins? Will he not rescue you from every evil of body and soul? Of course he does. And of course he will, always. You can be sure of this, because the Lord Jesus went to the cross for you. For this reason he went to Jerusalem. For this reason he was delivered over to the Gentiles, mocked, insulted, spit upon, scourged, and killed.
Indeed, for this reason he rose again. For your sake, for your salvation, he was glad to suffer everything, even death on the cross, because he loves you. Even though you were born spiritually blind, he loves you. Therefore, he redeemed you. He suffered all these things for you, so that you would be saved and healed and made new. Indeed, God, our Heavenly Father, sent his Son Jesus into our flesh to give us a new birth, and to give us new eyes, and to give us new sight, so that we might truly see. You may remember that Jesus begins his ministry in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, with these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." As he said to the synagogue in Nazareth on that day long ago, so he declares to you today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You were born blind, yes, you were born in sin. But through the gospel of Jesus Christ crucified for you, you have been set free from your sins. You have been given eyes of faith to see and to behold the year of the Lord's favor toward you. You see the Lord's anointed, Jesus Christ, who is truly your good shepherd, your king forever. You see God's all-surpassing love as it is embodied in Jesus Christ. You see that he is your Savior. You see all of this by faith. And that faith saves you. And by that faith, you glorify God. And all of this flows from the cross. Though the disciples were at that time blind to what the Old Testament prophets had written, and blind to the pattern of Jesus' words and ministry to that point, in our gospel lesson today, he once more calls them to see. He says, "See, we are going to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise." It is only by the shedding of Christ's blood that we receive forgiveness of sins, and we receive new and spiritual sight. He had to be delivered over to death. He had to go to the cross, for it's by his death alone that liberty is given to the captives and the oppressed. It is by his death alone that the blind receive their sight. It is by his death alone that the year of the Lord's favor will never come to an end. Again, when Jesus said this, the disciples did not understand it. But they would. They would come to know. They would come to believe. Namely, after Jesus fulfilled what he said would happen, when he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. On the day he rose from the grave, Luther tells us two accounts from that day. First, as he walked with two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and then later as he appeared to his chosen disciples that evening. In the first, the scripture says, when Jesus was at table with them, those two disciples, at Emmaus, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, writes Luke, and they recognized Jesus. And in the second account, again Luke writes, inspired by the Spirit, then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. In the actions of Jesus on that Easter Sunday, we see how he does the same for us today, opening our minds and our eyes to see and understand him by faith. Through the Word of God, written by the prophets and the apostles, still read and preached, our minds are opened by the Holy Spirit to understand that the Christ should suffer and die and on the third day rise again, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. And through the bread that is his body and the cup that is his blood, blessed and broken and poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins, your eyes are open to recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord and God indeed, and that his very body and blood given and shed for you to eat and drink is truly for the forgiveness of your sins, life, and salvation. By grace, our Lord Jesus does not count your failures, your blindness, or your sin against you. Just as he recovered the sight of that blind man on that road to Jerusalem, he would soon thereafter recover the sight of the disciples on that Easter evening. Yes, even after all their sin, all their error, all their blindness, Jesus restored them too. For that's exactly what he does. He shows mercy. He forgives. He makes all things well. And so if he can do this throughout history for the great saints of old, restoring David back to himself after adultery and murder, and Jacob after his treachery and betrayal, and Peter after his cowardice and denial, if he can turn the hearts of greedy Zacchaeus and Matthew to himself, if he can even open the eyes of the once blind apostles, he can, and indeed he also has, saved you from all your sins against his law. He has opened your eyes. He has made you well. For he went to Jerusalem for you. He satisfied the Father's wrath for you. He paid the ransom for you. He defeated death for you. Now, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we've come to the end of this brief time of preparation for the penitential season of Lent. That season is at hand, beginning in just a few days on Ash Wednesday. These 6 weeks are to be a time of reflection and repentance for us Christians. We should take these weeks to consider how many and great our sins truly are. Recognize our need for a Savior who would open the eyes of the blind. By faith, see how Jesus Christ has done just that by his death and resurrection. Apart from his holy word and blessed sacrament, we would remain in our blindness and guilt even unto everlasting death. But through hearing the word and receiving the sacrament in faith, we have salvation. Our guilt is taken away, and we have the sure and certain hope of everlasting life. And so then, as we embark on the season of Lent, let us take up the journey to the cross and the New Jerusalem of heaven, not as those who think that they see by their own reason or strength, but rather confess their blindness, and all the more confess the Savior who opens the eyes of the blind. Let us, as those whose eyes have been opened, be ready to beg, crying out, as we will momentarily, O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Let us be confident that Jesus does come to us, come in his body and blood to be received here for our salvation. Let us be bold and confident in our prayer, going before our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ in his name daily and purposefully, asking for mercy and indeed for all things according to his good and gracious will. Confident that nothing is impossible with God, but that he will do what he knows to be best, which is indeed for our good. And let us be vocal and loud in our praise, observing this Lenten season with increased and renewed devotion, taking up our crosses and following Jesus, glorifying God in our words and deeds, that many may see our good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. A Father who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is true. Everyone by sin has been born blind. And there are many who do not recognize that, even refuse to. But through the working of the law, we have come to confess our guilt. And through the power of the gospel, we who were once blind have been given new eyes to see Jesus. By faith, we see him here in time, but someday we will see him face to face in heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.